right. Janitor said that. By the way, the raccoons are back.
That's a good show. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The bigger the keychain, the more powerful the man. Now, all joking aside, there's something I think to be said about keys. Keys as this symbol of power and authority. Societies throughout time and history have used keys to correlate this very thing, power and authority. See, keys give people access. When you have a key, you have access to that thing or that door. And the logic behind it is the more access you have, the more power you have. The more access you have, the more powerful that you are. So I wonder who is the most powerful person in this room. I don't know. As I was thinking about it, I was like, it's probably Tim. Tim has more keys than anyone I know. But really, it's probably Jan, right? Jan has all the power here. Jan, thanks for coordinating all the soup suppers and stuff. You're awesome. I don't know where you are, but she's amazing. And so while it may not be necessarily true that there's this perfect correlation to power and keys, keys have with them and carry with them a certain amount of responsibility. When you have a key to something, you are responsible for. You are responsible for safeguarding it, for watching over it, for keeping it. And we as Christians have keys. We have, as Luther says in the Small Catechism, we have the office of the keys. We have this responsibility that's been passed down to us by the very words of Jesus. It centers in this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't talk about trespassing a whole lot, other than when I'm, and I don't do this, but wandering onto other people's private property when I maybe ought not to. But in this prayer, when we say trespass, what we're talking about is here in this petition, we ask God to forgive. To forgive us when we wander. When we wander away from his will. When we wander away from his plan for our life. And in that same breath, we ask that God would help us to forgive those who have likewise wronged us. The Catechism tells us about the office of the keys, that it is this special authority that Christ has given the church to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but also to withhold the forgiveness from the unrepentant. We, as the church, we as God's people here in this place, are called to forgive. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And as we read in Matthew chapter 16, and as we also can see elsewhere in the Bible, that Jesus has given to Peter, and by extension to us, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The keys to unlock grace and forgiveness in Jesus. That's what God's kingdom is all about. And we are the keepers of this gracious gift in Jesus. You have those keys to forgive. And yet, what we often do with those keys looks a lot like this. It's a sad picture. We have been given this great gift and responsibility, a gift to experience the peace and joy that comes in knowing that by and through the blood of Jesus, our sins are washed away. That by and through the blood of Jesus, we are made white as snow, forgiven and free. And a responsibility to respond in kind and to proclaim that same freedom from sin into the lives of those around us, to offer that same peace, that same life that Jesus offers to us, and yet with those very keys that have been handed to us by Jesus, we often do the exact opposite. We bind ourselves. We chain ourselves in two ways, I think. In two ways in particular that I think we see by looking at the Lord's Prayer in this petition. Take the first part of that petition. Forgive us our trespasses. Recognizing that we are sinners, we are broken, we are unworthy to stand before God and ask Him any of the things that we ask Him in this prayer, we are bold to pray that God wouldn't look at our sin, but that God would listen to us on behalf of Jesus. We boldly pray He would forgive us. We boldly pray for forgiveness. We pray that we would be set free from our chains. We pray that Jesus would set us free by and through His work on the cross. Jesus has given us those keys. The keys to the kingdom, to unlock this grace and forgiveness. And we are free. We are free in Jesus. We can stand before God in Jesus, pure and holy and whole. We are free. Or we ought to be. But the devil is crafty. And he's wily. And he speaks lies into our ears. And he says, you're weak. You think you're free, but you're never going to be good enough. You say you believe all these things. You don't do a good job of showing it. How are you actually living according to what you say? And silently and in solitude, we believe those lies. That Christ's forgiveness isn't enough. That it isn't for me. It doesn't apply to me. And we place our own chains back upon ourselves, being weighed down by the weight of our own sin. But Jesus speaks truths into our ears. Jesus says, take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood that is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, so therefore stand firm and no longer take up a yoke of slavery again. The forgiveness that we have in Jesus, it knows no bounds. It is deep and wide. It is more than we could have ever asked for. It's more certainly than we could ever have hoped for. And because of that, it's hard to believe sometimes. It's hard to believe. So we find ourselves in this position. But if Christ has set you free, you are free indeed. You have been freed in Christ, freed from sin to free others. The second part of that petition, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it's true that Jesus has given to us these keys to grant us forgiveness. And as we read in Matthew 16 tonight, and if you want to look, you can also look in Matthew chapter 18 or John chapter 20. Jesus has called us not only to experience that forgiveness for ourselves, but also to participate in that forgiveness by forgiving others. Jesus calls us to forgive. And as we participate in that, I would contend, as we look at what Jesus has called us to do and the keys that he has unlocked, I would say that we misuse the second part of what we read in Matthew 16. We misuse how we withhold forgiveness. When do we withhold forgiveness? What does that look like? I think Jesus, as he speaks to us in his word, is so clear. Especially as we look to Matthew chapter 18, and we looked at this during our Advent series as well, looking at Matthew 18 and how God has called us to forgive and how Jesus has called us to love our neighbor. And so what does it look like? Jesus' guidelines in Matthew 18 is to seek out our brother in sin. To seek them out, especially when they aren't seeking you out and they aren't seeking forgiveness. And Jesus says, first go one-on-one. Find them, talk to them, speak to them, call them to repentance, call them to receive and experience this grace and forgiveness. And if that doesn't work, then you bring a witness along. And the two of you come and you call this person to repentance that they would experience and be a part of the peace and joy that is the forgiveness of sins in Jesus. And if that doesn't work, you bring the community. And together you call them to repentance. And if that doesn't work, if after all of that, then and only then do we withhold forgiveness. So what does that tell us? At least for me, when I see how crazy that is, what it tells me is that Jesus, his desire is to bring forgiveness and forgiveness to be known to all people. Jesus came to proclaim victory and freedom to all people. And I think that's kind of part of the problem. All people. That gets kind of hard. Because all people means people I don't really like. All people means people that have hurt me personally. All people means people that, quite frankly, don't deserve it. But isn't that the point? The scandalous nature of the gospel is that none of us deserve it. They don't, and I don't, and you don't, and yet even I am free in Christ. That's scandalous. But even in our freedom, it's sometimes so hard to let go of those grudges. It's easy to hold on to those hurts and try to hold others captive to their mistakes and the ways that they have wronged us. And since we're the ones who are holding the keys, isn't that our right? Isn't it interesting that when we hold grudges, when we withhold forgiveness, when we don't forgive those who have sinned against us, we are the ones who are held captive. See, we think that we are, when we're holding on to those hurts, when we're holding on to those wrongs, that we are somehow holding them accountable. But we're the ones that are being locked up. We're the ones that are dwelling on it. And we might not even see it, but when we fail to forgive, we are putting ourselves in our own set of chains, just like before. Just like in this picture. We've locked ourselves up in chains of our own making. And we lock ourselves up with our keys, and we wait for them to come to us. That they would come to us and that they would fix it and make it right. But in doing that, we place upon ourselves a new yoke of slavery. We are slaves to our grudges. And it feels like power, but it's nothing but a prison. A prison of our own making. We pray, forgive. Forgive us as we forgive others. These two things, they go hand in hand. They go together. As we experience forgiveness, we forgive others. And what we see is if we fail to forgive, then we end up in the same situation that we were before, bound in our own sin, bound in our own tangled and mess. And so we pray that as we experience grace and forgiveness in Jesus, that we too would be gracious and merciful as our loving Savior has taught us to be. Keys. We have been given the keys to the kingdom. And in Jesus, we have the greatest power imaginable. We have this power over forgiveness. We have the power to forgive sins. We have this power that should belong to God alone. And in Jesus has been given to us. What an honoring and scary thing that is. That we have the keys. And as we pray tonight now, know that you are forgiven. You are free in Christ. But also pray. Pray that God would empower us to break off those chains of our own making. To break off those chains of sin and despair that cloud our own minds about who we are. And cloud our relationships about how we ought to love and care for each other. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. And now in a moment, we are going to pray.